Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
So why don't we just take a minute? Father, oh Jesus, we thank you for this beautiful church that we get to be part of. We thank you for your spirit moving. God, we thank you for the things that you're doing in this year of harvest. God, we're so grateful. We're so grateful for that we are walking with you every day of our lives, that we're not doing this journey alone, that you never leave us or forsake us, but that you walk with us. Oh God, I thank you. God, and I pray this morning that we would all, Holy Spirit, I thank you that we would all hear the things that we need to hear from your word today. God, that your word would do what only it can do, divide soul, body and spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Change us into the image of Jesus this morning. Amen. Amen. You can be seated, everybody. You know, we are in Vision Month, and as Steve said this morning, last weekend there was 38 people made decisions for Jesus. This year, just in 2025, 140 people across our locations have made decisions for Jesus. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing. If you are one of those people, we're so glad you're here. And, you know, because of this, you know, we have all these things in place. We have baptisms planned and foundations classes planned, and we have to do more. So on March 15th, there's an extra baptism being thrown in. So if you've made a decision to follow Jesus in the last little while, you can get baptized on March 15th. And then we're going to start a foundations class just after that online that will help you understand your faith. But the way for you to figure all this out is to join a connect group, and your connect leader will help you. A connect group is just a small group of people that gather together every second week to pray, to support each other, and to talk about Jesus. And some of them meet in homes. Mine meets at Oceans Cafe in Narrabeen. And the servers all know that we come and that we sit there for 2 hours, and we should tip more probably. But wherever you can be part of a connect group, and we would love you to do that. You know, the other thing that's fun is being on team, and so there's first step next week. But this week we had all in team night, right? And super festive. The food's great. Just coming for the free dinner is worth it, people. Like, one night where you don't have to cook, excellent. And this week at all in team night, I did both. I did Silverwater and here. And I came here to this one, and I was leaving with my ice cream that you got on the way out. And I was chatting to a girl from our Lower North Shore location, Anna Musson. And some of you know Anna. She's done a few things at women's conferences back in the day. And we're chatting, and then Kayleen Harry comes up and starts talking to us. Is Kayleen here this morning? Hey, Kayleen. So Kayleen and I did Bible college together in 1988. We were very, very young when we did Bible college, weren't we, Kayleen? Very young. And Kayleen comes up, and Kayleen is from obviously this location, Northern Beaches, and she and Anna have never met each other. And they've both been in our church for over, like, Anna's been in our church for over a decade, and Kayleen and I have been here, you know, since we were children. And how cool is that? So that's just a great byproduct of coming to All In Team Night, that you can meet people from different locations and hear the vision and hear that this is the year of harvest. This is God's heart for us this year, that people would come to make a decision to follow Jesus. And so we're going to continue in that this morning, and we're going to look at Luke 15. So Open your Bibles to Luke 15. We're pretty much going to be in the whole scripture or your device, wherever you access the Bible. Personally, I find it very hard to read my Bible on a device. Do you know why? I'm very distracted. So things pop in and I should have turned off my notifications, or I read something and I'm like, I wonder what Google says about that. And then that leads me to check an email, which leads me to check Facebook, and then I've forgotten all about the Word of God. So because I'm distracted and hopeless, I use an actual paper one. If you guys can use, some of you are really good at turning off all that stuff, but I like a physical one. So we're looking at Luke 15, and in Luke 15, there is three lost things. There's a lost coin, there's a lost sheep, and there's a lost son. So let's look at the scripture. So the first one is in Luke 15, verse 2. It says, "What man of you having 100 sheep, if he has lost one, does not leave the 99 in open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it?" Now, just a little note on this. Jesus' point is true. But what they would have known as first century people is that shepherds worked in groups, right? They didn't work on their own. So he wasn't being irresponsible. He would have said to his other shepherd buddies, "I'm going after the one," right? And we know this is true too, because when the angel appeared when Jesus was born, he appeared to shepherds, right? Watching their flocks by night. So they worked in groups, but he still left and went after the one. Okay, until he found it. "And when he found it, he lays it on his shoulder, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbours, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who need no repentance." And then the parable of the lost coin. "Or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbours, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I've found the coin that was lost.' Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." The interesting thing about these stories, and we'll get on to the son, is that Jesus is being, he's talking to the Pharisees and he's being a bit naughty with them, because he's saying, they're criticizing him for hanging out with people that were sinners, like tax collectors and prostitutes and people like that. But he knows when he says there's 99 righteous, that none of us are righteous without Jesus, right? So he's kind of like getting in there on them. They thought they were righteous, but actually no one is. And then the third story is the story of the prodigal son. And I'm going to tell you that story because it's very long to read. So I'm going to just tell it to you and then we're going to focus on a section of it. So there's one son who comes to his father and he says, "I want my inheritance. I want to go." It's a rebellious moment. It's a I want to do my own thing moment. It's a, I'm going to go out and make my place in this world, and I need my inheritance now. Now, what you need to know is that he's the second son. So the oldest son gets a double portion. In first century Jewish law, the oldest son gets a double portion. So the younger son would have gotten a third. And so he gets his third and he goes out. And instead of investing his third wisely and doing something sensible, he squanders it. The Bible says, on loose living and prostitutes. And he ends up in a pig pen, because basically he spends all his money on all sorts of craziness and then ends up needing a job, right? And so he needs a job, so he goes works in a pig pen. How far has a young Jewish man fallen when he needs to go work in a pig pen, right? Because pigs are unclean. So it's a long way down for him, right? And then one day, he kind of has this moment of like, what we would call repentance. He goes, what the heck am I doing? In my Father's house, there is plenty. I'm going home. And I am going home to ask my Father if I can be a servant in his household, right? I know I've messed up. I know I'm not worthy anymore, but I'm going to go home and ask him, can I be a servant? And he goes home, and some of you know the story. The father is very excited, has a party for him. And we're going to spend some time focusing on the older brother. Because in a year of harvest, we have got to be, those of us who have been here for a long time, we have to be ready for people to come back from the pig pen and everything in between. A lot of us didn't end up in a pig pen before we knew Jesus, but we ended up somewhere between the Father's house and the pig pen. There's a lot of room there, right? There's a lot of space, and a lot of us ended up there, and we have to be ready for people coming back. So let's look at the older brother's response. So the older brother in verse 28 to 30, here's what he says. It says, but he was angry. So the father's having a party and he refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, look, these many years I have served you, I've never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. The older brother is annoyed. He's angry. And he wants to decide who gets the father's love, right? He wants to say to his father, your second son doesn't deserve to come back in. He shouldn't be allowed back in. He should be kept out. The other thing that he does is he refuses to go into a party, which would have in those days caused incredible shame to the father. Because the whole town's probably at the party and this one son is standing outside going, I'm not coming in. And you know what? I was talking to my friend Vicky Simpson. Some of you know Vicky. She used to be based here as a prophetic ministry. Now she lives in Western Australia. And she goes, in my Italian family, that'd cause shame even today. She was like, if one of my cousins refused to come to a party and stood outside, it would cause shame. I was talking to some friends and they've got, one of the brothers won't come to a party if one of the other brothers is there, even today. And I was listening to her talking about this was going on in her family and it was causing her such pain because every time she goes to a family event, there's people missing. There's a part of the family that won't come in because of something that's going on. So we can imagine what this was like, right? That he refused to come in. And you know, we can all slip into being like an older brother. That we can, well, maybe you don't, but I can easily slip into being an older brother. And what an older brother looks like in the 21st century at C3 SYD is they go, that's my seat, what are you sitting in it? And you know what? I can do that. I can go, that is the Pamboro Memorial seat. What the heck are you doing in my seat? Right? Why are you there, new person? I want to tell you, if you're new today, sit wherever you like. There is, like, sit wherever you want. There's a whole gap on this front row. Come sit down there next week. Right? Sit wherever you want. And then we can be the person in Connect Group who's like rolling our eyes when the new person asks too many questions, right? That's what the older brother would have done now, right? Like, oh, don't you even know that? Or this is one that I do sometimes with my family because I have a master's in theology. I can sprout some really great information with some really big words that helps nobody, right? Because it doesn't help anybody. Unless, you know, I'm writing an essay and then it's helpful. But it doesn't help anyone when we're chatting. It just shows off, right? All I'm doing is showing off my knowledge. And that doesn't actually help. So it's so easy for us to slip, well, not you, just me, slip into being an older brother and go and be a bit difficult. I want to tell you, if you're new in Connect Group, ask every question you can think of. Ask them all, because I want to tell you, none of us have it figured out. We may be able to sprout, we may know a little bit more about God than you right now, but if you think we know all about God, your God is too small, because we are going to spend our lives trying to figure out how big our God is and who He is, right? So ask every question you want to ask if you are a new believer. And the rest of us are going to love you and answer if we can, and sometimes go, I don't know. We'll figure it out together. I've been reading this Bible for 30 years, probably more. I'm trying to calculate that and it's scaring me, probably 40 years. And there's still stuff that I'm like, oh, I don't understand that. It's okay. It's a journey, right, of following Jesus. And here's the main thing. The older brother forgot something very important. He forgot about the love and the grace of God. He forgot that he didn't become a son because he worked hard in the fields. He became a son because the Father had a son. And you and I become children of God because of what Jesus did, not because of what we did. And so sometimes we forget that. And he forgot that day. He forgot the incredible, outrageous, amazing grace, right? He forgot about it for a minute. And he got judgmental, and it's really easy to do. In Matthew 20, there's the parable of the workers. And it says, and you know, people listening to these stories must have thought Jesus was crazy, because he says, there's one guy who starts work at the beginning of the day, and then he gets more at the sixth hour and more at the 11th hour, and they all get the same pay. And he's not talking about money, he's talking about eternal life, that no matter when people decide to follow Jesus, we all get eternal life, because it's not about anything you did, it's about what he did. And so we're not earning our wages, we're receiving a free gift, right? And the fatted calf in this story represents the fact that the father kills the fatted calf, represents Jesus, right? And you and I know that that in our society, when we do something wrong, when we mess up, that we know that there needs to be a price to pay. We know this because we're made in the image of God. So when we hear about a murderer getting off, we're upset because we think the person needs to pay a price. When I'm driving at 9:25 in the school zone on Pittwater Road in Narrabeen, at 60 k's instead of 40 k's, I have to take the fine and lose the points, maybe twice. And no matter how much I say, I looked and come up with all my excuses about my busy day, or I've just had bad news, or whatever it is, you all know that I should have been paying attention, because there's children about, and no matter what's going on in my brain, I need to be driving at 40 k's, right? So whenever I've told people the story about losing points, they don't give me any sympathy. Because we all know when you do something wrong, you need to pay the price. And you and I know that we have walked away from God and we need to pay the price. But the amazing grace of God is that the Father sent the Son to die on a cross in our place so that we don't have to pay that price. And whether we say yes to Him when we're 4 years old or on our deathbeds, we all receive the same salvation, because it's not about what we did. It's about what He did. And this older brother forgot that for a minute. He he was all about talking about, I have been doing all these things. But he forgot that it wasn't about that. And so we need to remember that when we get all crinkly about our various things, and when new people start to come in and maybe mess up our church a little bit, please, if you're new, mess it up. We need to remember that, that it's God's grace that saved us, that it's extraordinary and scandalous and makes no sense, but how good is it that his grace follows us every day? I'm so grateful for that, aren't you? Okay, and the last thing that we need to look at with this older brother is this. In verse 31, it says this. The father says to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for your brother was dead. He is alive. He was lost, and he is found." How great would it have been if the brother had have gone, the older brother had have gone, instead of going, "What is going on? There's a party. I don't know what's happening, and he doesn't deserve it." And you know what? I get it. I get why the older brother was like that. He probably watched his father grieve over the younger son. So he's like, "I'm annoyed." But how great instead if he had remembered the love and the grace of the father and celebrated. You know, when I first started coming to this church a really long time ago in Brookvale, I remember every time people came to Christ, I'd cry. I'd be so moved that people had made a decision to follow Jesus that I would get emotional and cry. And somewhere along the line, along a long Christian life, I lost that. And I'm sad about that. And I want that back this year. I want to be, and I may not cry this time, I just may be pumped. I want to be a person that when people make a decision for Jesus and they were lost and now they're found, they were dead spiritually and now they're alive, that I would be so excited, that we would be a church that is so excited and having a party. So Andy said in the first service, when people come to Christ, there's not a prayer meeting, there's a party. And it should feel like that on Sundays when people are coming to Christ, right? That we can join in the celebration and not be the older brother standing out of the party, like standing back and saying, "Oh yeah, that's good for you." But that we would lean in and be excited and welcome people in. You know, today, let's just, for some of you, you've been here for a few weeks or you're brand new here and you're still thinking, "I don't know really if this is what God is like and if I should follow him." So now I want to turn our attention to the Father, because Jesus, there's a lot about the son, the prodigal, there's a lot about the older brother in this story, but there's so much also about the Father in this story that we can so learn from. And if you're new and still figuring it out, I get it. You know, as a 19-year-old, I was pretty insecure. I was incredibly shy. And I was out in my university years, drinking way too much, because how many of you know when you're shy and you drink too much, you're not shy anymore? It's awesome, right? And suddenly all your insecurities go and you're like, you can be the life of the party. Yeah, and then you make some very stupid decisions and you mess up. And, you know, we can all thank God for Pat Ancliffe, who was also in my uni year, because he was in my friendship group, and Pat Ancliffe's the location pastor at the Lower North Shore location and on our exec, for those of you who are new here. And he would drive me home and probably save my life. So he would drive me home and talk to me about Jesus. And then I started in sometime in that process going to church, but I still kind of lived two lives. And I actually kind of had two sets of clothes. Weird. Anyway, I know. You're all like, she is crazy. Why do they give her the microphone? Anyway, so I had like my, I had these nice church dresses and I would go to St. Barnabas in Roseville, beautiful Anglican church. And I had nice church dresses. And then for Friday and Saturday nights, and thank God our youth group was Sunday nights, because if it had been Sunday mornings, yeah, I wouldn't have been there. But anyway, because of Friday and Saturday nights. And so I had the other clothes for Friday and Saturday nights. And I remember sitting one night late in the minister's home, because we were friends with the minister's kids, saying, if these guys knew how I was living my life, they'd throw me out of the church. And what I was really saying also was, I don't think God will accept me, because I'd grown up in church and walked away. And I knew enough to know that I wasn't living how God would have me, but I thought he would be judging me. And so, and God bless my friend, she explained to me that no. And then she said the classic thing, you should talk to the youth pastor. And so I did. On my way home, he happened to be driving me home that night, and he explained the grace of God to me. Because here's what I didn't know, and it's in this, my favourite verse in this whole story is verse 20. Let's look at it. It says this about the son, and he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. I want you to know this morning that if you are far from God, that all you have to do is turn around from wherever you are between the house and the pig pen, because the father, how did the father see him? He saw him from a long way off because he was watching for him. Because I can imagine every day that father at some point looking out on the horizon thinking, is this the day my son might come home? Is this the day he's going to turn around and be restored to me? And I want to tell you today that the father sees you. He is looking for you. If you're a long way off or if you're just a little way off, he sees you. The second thing is that he has compassion for you. You are not like I thought I was, and that is that God is going to judge me. He has compassion for me, and he has compassion for you today. And then he picks up his robes and ran towards him. Do you know how scandalous that was? The first century audience would have been like, no man, head of a household, will run in our society. Young men run, young women ran, children ran, older men never ran. It was undignified. But the father gathered his robes and ran to the son. And I want to tell you today that that is who the father is. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, all we have to do is turn around and walk towards him. He sees us, he has compassion on us, and he's running towards us.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.